Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. And on today's Basic Gospel program, we continue with our study through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide based on the book of the same title by my friend Bob Christopher. I hope you have your copy, and if not, you can go online to basicgospel.net and click the Simple Gospel book link on the right-hand side of the homepage. That will get one coming to you immediately. Now, this is a study edition today, of course, and we'll not be taking live phone calls, but the voicemail line is always open for you, so you can get your questions to us at 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742. Give us a voicemail over the weekend. We'll be glad to answer it on this coming week on Basic Gospel. But for right now, it's Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And here's my friend, Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob, and hello to everyone listening today. We have an exciting study. We're on page 8. We're going to be starting on page 8 of the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. We're in the first chapter, and the title of that chapter is First Things First. And I think we all need to come to understand the priorities that God has for us. And once we understand that, things start to fall into place for us. And what is God's priority? Well, his priority was to give us life. And we're going to talk about why that was the priority in the Lord's mind as far as you and I were concerned. Last week, just to go back and recount what we studied, we looked at a time in Jesus's ministry where he began to pivot and turn his face toward Jerusalem. At the early stages of his ministry, he did a lot of healing. He did a lot of teaching and a lot of parables and all of that to kind of introduce himself as the one the Old Testament had been talking about. And then after he asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" at a place called Caesarea Philippi, which is in northern Israel, one of the most northern parts of Israel, he begins to turn his face toward Jerusalem, and he makes some very clear, very plain statements to the disciples about what's up ahead for him. He clearly tells them on a number of occasions, "I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be handed over to the leaders. I'm going to be persecuted. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be buried. But on the third day, I'm going to come back to life." So he talked about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. That is the gospel story. That is the good news. Now, the disciples had a hard time really processing that because in their minds and our minds as well, death is not good news. Death is not good news at all, but yet that's how the good news story begins. It begins with the death of Jesus Christ. And they had a hard time dealing with that. And when Jesus was actually raised from the dead and the disciples went to the tomb to see and the women went to the tomb to anoint his body, none of them were thinking that he had come back to life. They were all trying to figure out who came and stole the body and where is the body now. So they had a hard time processing what Jesus had clearly told them until after they had seen him in his resurrected body. And so that's what we talked about last week, and we're going to pick up in the middle of page 8 of the study guide, and we're going to look at a very important passage out of the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And here Paul lays out the gospel story for us, what he had received and what he had passed on. So let's just read the first four verses of this chapter, and then we're going to look at some other verses out of this chapter. But here's what Paul wrote. "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you." So when he entered into the city of Corinth, he preached the gospel. He laid it out there in very plain, clear language. He didn't use high and mighty words. He just made it as simple and as clear as he possibly could. And so he preached that to them, and they received it, and they took their stand on that gospel message. And it was through that gospel message that they were saved. And so he goes on in verse 3 and says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received." So this isn't something that Paul made up. This isn't a story that he concocted. This is something that he received. He received it from the Lord, and the Lord kind of revealed this to him by taking him back through the scriptures of old and showing him how his death, burial, and resurrection was predicted by the prophets. And he received that. And here's what he received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. So our first question for the day is this. In his letter to the Corinthians, Paul passed on to them things of first importance. What were those things according to 1 Corinthians 15:3 through 4? And here's what's of first importance, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me lay those out again for you. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what's of first importance. That's the story that matters. That's the message that contains the power of God unto salvation. That's the message that reveals to us the righteousness of God apart from the law that becomes a gift to those who believe the story, who believe in Jesus Christ. So what's of first importance to God? The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And all of this in accordance with scriptures. So again, this isn't a story that was new as far as the days of Paul were concerned. It was a story that had been told since the very beginning. God slowly unfolding this death, burial, and resurrection motif throughout the Old Testament. And then when Jesus came on the scene, he carried out the plan of God that was in place before the creation of the world. He inhabited a body. He absorbed the sins of the world into that body, and he died for our sins. And that body was buried in a borrowed tomb. And then 3 days later, that body came out. Jesus was alive, and Jesus is alive. That is the story. That's what's of first importance.
Yes, indeed. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is first importance. This is the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study on this particular Friday. Glad you're with us, everybody. Remember, the phone lines are not open today, but if you'd like to leave us a message over the weekend, you can do that at 844-322-2742. And friends, it's a resource that has helped so many people arrive at a new and exciting place in their lives. What am I talking about? Bob Christopher's excellent book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Bob recounts that through many struggles in his high school and college days, he came to understand that the gospel is not about being better, doing better, and trying harder to please God, but simply in resting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way your Christian life is supposed to work. The simple gospel is simply grace. To get your copy of the book or the study guide or both, well, you can click the link on our homepage at basicgospel.net and you order your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and allow God's grace to do its work in your life. Again, you'll find it at basicgospel.net. Well, this is the Friday study, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide, and again, here's Bob.
Well, thanks, Bob. So what's of first importance to the Lord and what needs to be of first importance to us? So our priorities need to line up with God's priorities. And what are those priorities? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So if we're going to really grow in our relationship with the Lord, we need to find out what each of those elements of the story actually mean to you and me. What does it mean that Christ died for our sins? What does it mean that he was buried? What does it mean that he was raised back to life on that third day? And as we understand the elements of those stories, it puts our lives in place. It really orders our lives around the gospel and really invites us to participate in this good news story. Now, how do we know this actually happened? How do we know that Jesus died on a cross? How do we know that he came back to life? Well, there were eyewitness accounts. We read them in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those were eyewitness accounts. And when you read them, you see that they are describing events that they were able to see and experience in their own lives. So they aren't making up a story. They're just telling what they saw when they walked with Jesus and what happened to them. So we have these eyewitness accounts. But here Paul tells us how these were verified. So in verse 6, he said, at verse 5, and that he appeared to Cephas or Peter, then to the 12. So once Jesus came out of that tomb, he first appeared to the women in the garden. And we see a very intimate moment between Jesus and Mary Magdalene. Right. And he calls her name, and in calling her name, she recognizes him. And then upon that, she goes and tells the disciples, and they witness him. They see him. And that's what he's saying here, that he appeared to Peter, then to the 12, those 12 apostles or disciples. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time. So there was a gathering of his followers, his disciples, 500 in number, and he appeared to them at one time, and most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Of course, now all have fallen asleep. But then he appeared to James, and that was his half-brother, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. So Jesus had these encounters, these post-resurrection encounters, the people that he loved, the people that followed him, the people that were a part of his entourage, so to speak. He showed himself to these people, and they became witnesses, eyewitnesses to the fact that Jesus, the one that was crucified, was now alive. And Jesus lived among them for about 40 days, and then on the 40th day, he ascended into heaven. The disciples saw that. He rose up on a cloud, and the angel said, just as you see him ascend, he will come back in the same way. So now we have that hope of Christ coming back, and we know that he is, and when he comes back, we're going to be revealed with him. But he made this fact about his resurrection known to over 500 people during that 40-day period, and they became eyewitnesses. So what did these witnesses testify about? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 15 of chapter 15, we read this. We are found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. So Paul is building a case for the resurrection. Mm-hmm. And he's saying if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our message about his resurrection is a lie. We're misrepresenting the facts. But here's the truth. Christ has been raised. He is alive. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father. So their testimony is true. So if Christ had not been raised, they would be liars, wouldn't they?
Yes, indeed.
If Christ had not been raised, then our entire ministry, basic gospel ministry, would be a ministry built upon a lie. And every church around the world that proclaims the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they would be promoting a lie as well, pushing it out there into the public square. But we know it's not a lie. It's true. Why? Because the evidence is overwhelming that Jesus indeed was raised from the dead. But in verse 17, we read this, and if Christ has not been raised, our faith is futile and we are still in our sins. So apart from the resurrection, there really is no Christianity. Apart from the resurrection, we have nothing to believe in. Apart from the resurrection, all hope is gone. And that's what he says in verse 19. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people are most to be pitied. Why? Because we're believing a lie. We're believing a made-up story. But we know it's not a made-up story. The evidence is way too overwhelming to believe otherwise. And I think even the skeptics of today, those who are most critical of the Christian message, have come to the point to say Jesus was a real historical figure, that he was crucified, as the Bible says. He was buried. And some have even come to the point and say, you know, I can't explain why there's an empty tomb. So maybe the resurrection has some merit. But the fact that he showed himself to these over 500 people and they became eyewitnesses, and that story has been going forth for 2,000 years, that is pretty strong evidence that indeed Christ was raised from the dead.
Absolutely. Well, Bob, thanks for these thoughts. And friends, it is our Friday study, the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide, and we're glad you're here for it. And, you know, friends, your support for Basic Gospel is vital if we're to continue to produce radio and internet programming and resources to help you and others hear, believe, and live this good news of Jesus Christ. People everywhere need to hear that God has provided a way for them to live forever in his loving care. And you can be a part of keeping the good news coming for everyone who hears. We hope you'll make your gift online today, and you can do that at basicgospel.net. That's our regular website, basicgospel.net, a big prominent link right on the home page. And just before we get back to our study, we invite you to join Bob Christopher Sunday Morning Live, Sunday mornings at 9:30 Central. It's available online at basicgospel.net, and you'll find direct links to both Facebook and YouTube at the top of our homepage, basicgospel.net. That's Sundays at 9:30 Central for Sunday Morning Live with this guy, Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Well, back to our study, top of page 9, First Life. And this is the priority of God, first life. He wants to make us alive. And then change, transformation can happen on the inside and work its way out as far as our lives are concerned. But before any of that can happen, we need to be made alive. Now, that's why the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the heart and soul of Christianity. And the reason is because it solves our deepest need. So we're going to go all the way back to the book of Genesis, what happened in the garden, and we're going to see what our deepest need really is as far as our humanity is concerned. So in Genesis 2, 16 and 17, we read this, "And the Lord commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." So what did God say would happen to Adam on the day that he ate the tree or ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? He said he would surely die. So God said, here's life. I've made you alive. I've breathed life into you. And you can partake of any and every tree in this garden except for one. And if you partake in that, you will die. So what does Satan do? He goes right to that tree, and he starts to talk about it in ways that makes it look desirable. And Eve ate of it, and then she gave fruit to Adam, and he ate as well, and something happened. And what happened is the fact that they died. So in Genesis 3, 1 through 5, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" See, he's trying to twist the words.
Yeah.
"And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." So Eve kind of adds to what God had said. God just said, don't eat of it. Mm-hmm. Didn't say you couldn't touch it, but... Adam must have added that to her or added that as a part of the story in communicating to Eve. We don't know. "But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband who was with her, and he ate." So they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and something happened to them. And what happened to them was that they died. Now, they didn't die physically. They lived, Adam lived to be 930 years of age. So he didn't die physically that day, but he did die spiritually. And we see that. He became ashamed of his nakedness, and he and Eve tried to cover themselves up with fig leaves, and they hid themselves from God. That's the evidence of the change that took place on the inside of them, the fact that they were now dead spiritually. God reached out to them. He clothed them. He extended grace to them. He clothed them in an animal skin to give them the proper covering. And he sent them out of the garden, and he put angels there so they could not get back into the garden and eat of the tree of life. So spiritual death took place. So we asked the question at the bottom of page 9, did they die physically that day? And if not physically, what type of death did they die? So we know they didn't die physically, so they died spiritually. So there's the problem. There is the problem of man. It's not only the fact that we are sinners in need of forgiveness, it's that we're dead and in need of life. And oftentimes we miss that point in the gospel. Most every Sunday when I come in to do Sunday morning live, I listen to the Christian station here in Dallas, and I hear several different pastors all giving invitations at the end of their messages, and it's come and receive forgiveness. They never, ever talk about the fact that we're dead and in need of life.
Right.
So the resurrection merely becomes a stamp from God validating Jesus's claims about himself. It never becomes a practical reality for you and for me. Just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, when we come to Christ by faith, we too are raised from the dead spiritually. We're made alive together with Christ Jesus. That's why this is such good news. And this was the missing link for me. When I received Christ, I saw a presentation of the crucifixion of Christ, and I knew that Christ had died for my sins. Yeah. So I got the first part of the message, the first part of the good news. And so I trusted Christ for my forgiveness, but I didn't know that I needed life. And I didn't know that at that moment I had been made alive together with Christ. Some 8 years later, that truth hit me like a ton of bricks, and it absolutely revolutionized my Christian life. It absolutely revolutionized my relationship with the Lord. And it gave me hope for my day-to-day living. So you and I, when we come into this world, we come into this world dead spiritually. Paul talks about that in Romans and in Ephesians. And why the resurrection is so vitally important? Because through the resurrection, the deepest need that we have is solved. We go from death to life through faith in Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be saved by grace? It means that we have been made alive with Jesus Christ. Just as he was physically resurrected, we too have been given new life.
Yes.
As I end this chapter, you were dead, and now you are alive in him. That's why this is good news,
that
folks.
That is wonderful news, and Bob, a great study. Thank you for that. And friends, thank you for being with us for the study edition of Basic Gospel. To get your copy of the study guide, just click the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace link on the homepage of our website, basicgospel.net, and you'll be ready for next Friday's study, and we hope you'll be here for that. Keep in mind, too, that we need your partnership in this gospel message to keep the good news coming. You can donate now or over the weekend at basicgospel.net. We're in this together, friends, so let's pull together and make it happen. Again, donate at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join Bob online Sunday morning, 9:30 Central, for Sunday Morning Live. Link to either Facebook or YouTube at the top of our homepage, basicgospel.net. Well, that's it for this one, everybody. So stay safe, have a great weekend, and join us again on Monday for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.